Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face, we can talk through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Let's Talk Truth, and we're on this broadcast tonight. Want to welcome our guest. Actually, I want to welcome my co-host tonight, which is Kay DeWitt, and I want to welcome Barbara to the show tonight. She's on the line, and I want to welcome Courtney and Paige in our studio. So any of the rest of you that call in, you're more than welcome to take part in this discussion. As I say at the top of every show, we're not here to try to preach to anyone, but as the show is called Let's Talk Truth, if you are to tell who you have to put God in it. It has to line up with the Word of God. Or as in our theme song, it's merely our opinion. So our opinion really doesn't matter much. So what I want to tonight, before we turn to the hands of us, we're talking about love versus indifference. Love versus indifference. And I'm going to ask Kay when she comes on to explain to us what love is and what the definition of indifference is and how we love is not hate, but indifference. And most of our Christians believe that this statement magnifies the truth about the need for the agape love of Jesus Christ. When you start talking about love versus indifference, we are so determined to put it out there exactly what the agape love of Jesus Christ is. And God and his agape love is never indifferent to the cries and the needs of his kids. So we're going to address this issue and see if we can come to some possible solution to determine whether or not if we're guilty, if we're the people that's guilty of indifference, are we a part of the problem as to why our kids are dying and dying at a young age? And before I turn this over, I want to say that I was so hurt because a little girl in the Richardson area, and that's right here in Dallas, outside of Dallas, a three-year-old girl, at 3:00 in the morning, her dad put her outside in the backyard because she would not drink her milk.
Oh.
Now, number one, they haven't found the little girl yet.
Oh.
But the thing is this. Number one, why you get up at 3:00 in the morning with a glass of juice or a cup of juice or whatever. And the dad, they arrested him for endangerment to a child. Now, guess who got together his bail money? His church got together the bail money. They set his bail at $250,000, but they got together and got him out on bail. I don't know if, you know, the little girl has been missing since Saturday morning. And I don't know, she's a beautiful little three-year-old girl. I don't know if they're going to find her, but they hadn't. I don't know if they found her, but they hadn't this morning. Now, they may have. I haven't looked at the news since then. But she's a three-year-old child.
Yeah.
I don't hear any mom. They haven't said anything about the mother. But these are the kind of things that we're talking about for love versus indifference. Oh. Why would a girl, he said she wouldn't drink her milk, so he put her out in the backyard and told her to stay near the tree.
Dear Lord have mercy.
In the backyard. She's 3 years old.
Dear
and
Lord.
That's just horrible. So now I'm going to turn it over to the co-host for the evening. Kay, I want you to come any way Lord directs you to come. Barbara, I want you to feel free to join in any way the Lord directs you to come, and then we'll just go from there, okay? All right, Kay.
Yes, that is heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. You know, Lois, I've been saying that people say the opposite of love is not hate, but it really is indifference. Then all of a sudden, just tonight, wait a minute. Yeah, the opposite of the world's idea is love could be hate, because they say the line between love and hate is very fine. I make it very clear, there is no real love unless it is Christ. Love, because human love is not it's conditional. I keep saying, sometimes I say, ad nauseam, forgive me. It's the difference between I love you because I need you or I need you because I love you. People out in the world, they don't really love one another. They use one another. They have these warm feelings because somebody fills a particular need. But when the person stops filling the need, then guess what? There goes the love. Well, he who doesn't love you today never loved you yesterday. So I guess I want to start by clarifying that the opposite of Christ's love, is indifference, because it is his love. And that's why Jesus used that as what would mark us as a Christian. Not if we went to church, not if we speak in tongues, but if we witness his brand of love, because we are incapable of that in our human nature. So it is his love through us, and his love is never indifferent to the needs and cries of his people. And
that's
the definition,
right. You know,
that I love and forgive me, you know, the phone, I don't know if it's mine, sometimes it blasts, so if I miss a word, Lois, you know, forgive me, because my phone is doing that. But anyway, it is the desire for the loved one's ultimate best, whether that one spits you in the face or whatever. It loves the person for who they are, whatever they are. So it loves the sinner and hates the sin. Now, that church did that man no favor by bailing him out because he was wrong.
Didn't.
Again, if you desire the loved one's ultimate best, then it is not in the interest of his to enable what was an absolute act of cruelty.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And
so,
if you're indifferent, that's like me driving my vehicle. I have a gear shift in my car, and it says park, reverse, neutral, drive. If I don't want to go either direction, if I don't want to reverse, if I don't want to go forward, I put it in neutral. That means I'm not committed either way.
Right.
That's what indifference is. You're not committed. And how can a Christian not be committed? You know, how can we not be committed to showing everything or giving our all?
You can't, Lois.
I did a message on Sunday, and it was entitled, the text was, Who's Teaching You? And God spoke volumes through that because you said something that the world believes this rather than how we believe as children of God. And we're getting, most of our teaching is coming from the world.
Yes.
Because we're not listening to the word of God. We're not listening. We are so busy hearing the world because it sounds intellectually right, or it sounds like something everybody wants to hear. But man, God's love, you may be the only one standing there, but you have to do it God's way.
Amen.
You must love God's way. And to love is not by voice, it's action. You know, I love you, that's an action verb. You know.
Right.
You guys got the degrees in English and all of that. But it's action. So, go ahead. I just wanted to interject that little bit right
there. Yeah, you're right. God's love must express itself. It cannot not express itself. God's love, his compassion, is your pain in my heart. Now, minutes ago, I looked up at my wall, and what I have on my wall to my left, the title is The Pain of God. Then under it, it says Love Suffers. And then it says, there is no love without self-giving. There is no self-giving without pain. Therefore, there is no love without suffering. Suffering is an essential ingredient of agape love. And, of course, so many Christians that suffer at no cost. Now, Lois, this show is proving to be a blessing in so many ways. If there's a particular situation that we have discussed, I give the blog link to, I say, listen to it. Now, something happened the day after last week's show that I would like to share because
okay.
I am going to give it to the individual, and I will not name names. And in my life, I try to make every negative a positive. Sometimes stupid little things, like I dropped my dye on my rug, so I made a cross out of it, you know, that kind of thing. So I want to try and make this negative experience a positive for the individual that is involved. It also spoke to me about indifference and how Christ's love always makes it. People have to understand that Christ's love cannot not make a difference. And for the person who is a vessel of Christ's love, it comes so naturally. It's the warmth of your smile. It's the warmth of your hello. And when somebody's having a bad day, one will never know how much that means. Okay. So now, last week, Wednesday, first of all, I'd only gotten 4 hours of sleep. And I had to go to see my primary care physician, who I absolutely love. This man is absolutely beautiful. I mean, his dad, he's a beautiful Christian. I love seeing him. But to get to him is wearing because his office is in a mall, and I have to walk down quite a distance to get to him, okay? And I was kind of dreading it. I mean, I only had 4 hours of sleep. Okay. So because I am handicapped, I get, through my insurance, I get free cab service, okay? So the cab came to pick me up and drop me off. Well, what was nice, and I always try and see, well, it was a nice day. I praise God for that. And I was no sooner dropped off at the curb when this girl came up to me. She said, can I help you? And I said, well, honey, that's so sweet of you, but I think the door opens automatically. I would have told you you can hold the door. Well, it turns out she was so nice and so loving. And when they are, I always like to say, are you a Christian? Because it warms them if they say yes. And then I say, I want you to know you witnessed that. And she did. And that helped. I mean, that kind of energized me. That was so sweet of her to do that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to get on the elevator and ask somebody. Thank the Lord I'm not shy. So I wait for somebody. Sir, could you, you know, please go on the elevator with me. Now, the next challenge was that when I come back and wait for the cab, I have to sit outside the glass windows. But there's never a chair there. So now the challenge was I've got to ask somebody if they'll bring the chair down. So that was on my mind. So I got upstairs, and I was going to walk into this store, and this guy came out. He said, can I help you? And I said, well, thank you so much. As a matter of fact, I was just coming in and going to ask if one of you guys would be willing to bring a chair down when I'm ready to wait for. Oh, yes, he said, no problem. He said, as a matter of fact, I'll run and get you a wheelchair now. And they, I mean, this energized me. All of a sudden, I have all this, you know, energy. The walk didn't seem like anything, really. He couldn't get the wheelchair. But what I'm saying is those acts of kindness made a difference to me. You know, all of a sudden, I felt like I had more hours sleep. So coming out of the doctor's office, I was walking down. And if he wasn't walking toward he was going. He was getting off at work, so I had just caught him. I said, oh, Antonio, I was just going to ask to bring the chair. No problem, he said. I'll go down the elevator with you, and you'll get the chair. And he went outside, got the chair. Well, isn't this wonderful? Praise the Lord. Well, then it got downhill. First of all, I went to use my phone and couldn't get a signal. Well, it just so happened that the nurses who had just given me my lab test, I guess they had gone out, were coming through the door. I said, oh, is your phone working? Could I call the cab? So she gave me her phone. And I said, well, sir, I'm ready to be picked up. I'm sitting on College Street. He said, oh, I'm sorry. We can't pick you up on College Street, sir. Sir, this is where they always pick me up. I'm sorry, lady. It says 210 East Trade Street. Sir, listen to me. I am at 210 East Trade Street. That's where the epicenter is. That's the address of the mall. But I am at the College Street. I'm sorry, lady. We can't pick you up. You have got to get on East Trade Street. Sir, I can't walk to East Trade Street. Do you understand, sir? I cannot walk. But I'm sorry, lady. I could not believe it.
I know.
Nurse got on the phone, and I heard her say, well, then where does she have to be? Well, all right. Now, I don't know what I would have done if she hadn't been there. Here I am, no phone, no help, okay? In other words, this guy didn't hear that cry. I can't walk to East Trade Street. I told him I have been dropped here and picked up for years, sir, for years. Made no difference, okay? So now, because of his deaf ears to my cry, I've got to walk all the way back to my doctor's office. Now, that was a hard walk to begin with, and now I'm feeling the increased pain because this is really pushing the difference, okay? And there was such a deep crying inside. And it's hard for me to put that into words, but, again, it's always the kids. It's just how the kids, some kids feel. I mean, I hear their unspoken cries, but have some of them really, you know, and nobody cares. Well, by the time the nurses said, we'll run and get you the wheelchair. Well, I was at the doctor's office before they got the wheelchair. And they're on the phone. Okay, yeah, we get that. And guess where they wheeled me back to? Right where I was. Except I was at the curb, all right? I usually sit in back of the, it's where the valet parking is, inside the building, all right? Thank goodness it was a good day. Here I am, right where I tried to tell this guy. So now when I come back home, I've said, Lois, and I'll say, I guess, I don't care what people think about me, but I do care that I'm never a contradiction to Christ's love. You know, it's easy to love somebody who hasn't hurt you. The world does that. It's not so easy to love somebody who has hurt you. I seize that as an opportunity to witness Christ's love. The first thing I did was to call the owner of the cab company, not to report this man. I said, I want to make this very clear to you, sir. My motive is I never again, I mean, it's too late for me, but I don't want anyone else to be subjected to what I was subjected to.
Exactly.
Because, you understand that? Somebody, because I have, you know, I'm a persevere and I have a fight. I mean, that could have been devastating for somebody who, okay, and that was my motive. And I made it clear, I'm not reporting this man, I'm telling you this out of love, okay? So the following morning, because I want to witness Christ's love to this man, I call him. And I say, sir, I want you to know that the reason I called the boss is because I don't want anyone else to go. The man said, lady, I tried to tell you, we couldn't pick you up because you were on East Trade Street. Sir, you're not hearing me. I couldn't believe. And he hung up on me. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't. Unbelievable. So I called the boss back. And I said, did you make it? He hadn't called me. I said, well, sir, I didn't realize that. Please make it clear to this man. I am doing this out of love. I am not trying to get him into, you have not done nothing wrong. Now, I said that to say, see, I'm going to write him a letter. I'm going to give him this link and write him a letter of love to say, I want to seize this as an opportunity to show you Christ's love. That will make my pain not to have been in vain. Because I want to witness Christ's love to you. I want to be able to say, sir, I love you. And I suspect, because of your posture toward me, that you're not a Christian. And, sir, I care about you. Because I believe there's a real, very real heaven and a very real hell. And, sir, my love for you wants to make sure that you arrive in heaven. That doesn't mean your behavior is okay. Again, you actually, it's to the degree you love the sin. The degree you love the sinner, you hate the sin. Most people don't understand that because they don't understand agape love. So that's part of the reason I told this, you know, that I'm going to tell him that. And then the following day, you know, it is where it's at is love. And it was like this message was confirmed when I went to get my I can't pump my own gas. It's hard for me to balance. So I always ask. You know, I drive up to the convenience store where the gas pumps are. Could just somebody pump my gas? And so this guy came out. Now, I always make sure I ask, are you a Christian? But, you know, Lois, those Michael Jackson poems are just, they're so much easier than using a track. Because I have to say, were you into Michael Jackson? You know? And that, and they kind of get interested in that. Well, no, kind of. I said, sir, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Muslim. I said, well, let me tell you. Now, I am a Christian, and I am a vessel of Christ's love, and I love you unconditionally. Sir, if you were to buy my Jesus, I'm not going to love you anymore. But do you understand? Because Christ's love wants somebody to open the best, because I believe this to be true. I have to tell you that. Because I want you to wind up in heaven. You don't have to agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, I'm not going to love you any less. Do you know the end result was that guy said, thank you, thank you. And he started throwing kisses. Okay? I cannot not see that time and time. Another Muslim said, you have a message. It's not my message. It's Christ. And to know that is the answer to our kids. And every person who purports to be a Christian must take that responsibility. I mean, I am so on fire now. I'm making it black and white. You're part of the solution,
you know,
or you're part of the problem. If you don't love with Christ's love, then you're part of the problem. Because how can you hear case after case of our kids dying and remain indifferent to that? Because my Lord's heart is breaking and weeping. And if he lives inside you and his love lives inside you, then your heart should be breaking, even if it's to make a difference in the life of one kid. So that's, you know, that's what
you
I'm coming
said
at.
Something. Everything you were saying just brought so many things to my mind as you were talking. When you find people, I say when you deal with people, when you have to serve people, that's what we are. We're supposed to serve each other.
Amen.
When we're in our jobs, put us in a position to serve people. And we don't know how, like that young man didn't know how to serve you by picking you up. He wasn't listening. He didn't understand that. The first thing that comes to my mind is who hired him for that position? let me tell you something that's important. And our employers have to be held accountable for who you hire for certain positions. I asked a man in Walmart, I said, do you train your people to deal with people? There are some people who cannot serve in a public capacity. They don't have in them what it takes. And meaning, I can only give you what I have in me to give you. Yes. And if I don't have the agape love of Jesus Christ in me, I can't give it to you.
Absolutely. Amen.
So money runs everything.
That's right, Lois.
Everybody will grab a job just to make money. But how many people seek that job that God sends you to so that you can be of service? And that's what we're missing. We're missing the opportunity to serve in the purpose in which God has called us, and we're selling out for the dollar amount.
That's right.
We don't realize that God can take a dollar to $10,000.
That's right.
But we don't want to take that chance because we don't want the word of God. We don't trust God enough to do this. And when we find people who cannot serve with the agape love of Jesus Christ in certain positions, it's because that's not your place. That's not your purpose. You shouldn't be there. But we grab it because it's a way for us to make a living. And we need to start teaching, seek God before you move. Seek God on it, your job, your everything. Now, you were talking about us, how you love unconditionally. That's because the love of God, the agape love of God, is in you. I was talking to a young man today. He called me and asked me about a couple. He said, have you heard from them? I said, I haven't heard from them in 2 years. And he said, oh, I am just shocked. And the reason he was shocked is because I took that couple to live with me over 2 years.
Mm.
And when they walked out of my home, I have not heard them since. They have not called and said,
what do you know?
Are you living? I have had a lifetime of that stuff.
Dear God.
It still doesn't make, it doesn't sour me on the way I serve people.
Amen.
Because the agape love of God is in me. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that song, You Can't Beat God Giving. No matter how you try, the more he gives, the more he gives to you. So keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't beat God giving no matter how you try.
I love it. I haven't heard it. Well, I love that.
I feel that's how I feel on a daily basis. I have been, and I tell people, you misuse me, but you can't. I'm a child of God. You use me, but you can't, because I'm a child of God. You know, we think if Jesus went on the cross and died for all of us, how can you use me? You can't use me up. He rose again. I'm going to rise too. He said, in the appointed time, he said, I'm going to exalt you. So all we have to do is teach love to be love, show love so that people can feel love. If I'm an adult and can't feel it, how can I pass that on to a little child?
You can't.
How can I pass that on to a little child? I can't do it. There is no way I can do it. But we have to, you know, it's what we have to do, because these children, how will they ever become adults if we don't have love to show them?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Kay, how will somebody get up and be a witness like you are a witness today if we don't help them out when they're babies?
They can't, Lois. They can't. It's foreign to them. And I suspect that, see, I'm doing it because it's foreign to this man. Now, this is what I think part of the problem is. People have abused the system, so they will say they're at the doctor's and they're someplace else. And I think that's what he said, you know, we could lose our license. But, you know, there's a difference between the letter of the spirit of the law. Listen to me. Listen to my heart. Listen. Know that I am not trying to beat the system. You know, I think that's where he was coming from. But because we have failed at large, showing Christ's love, it's foreign to people. They don't, you know, it's foreign to them. It's foreign to the kids, although they're drawn to it, because there is a mm-hmm. supernatural power to Christ's love. And because love is always wanting son, you know, I'll say to somebody, I'll lay my life down for you if need be.
Yeah.
But if I find out that you are using me, then love would not allow you, because if I want your ultimate best, it's in the interest of somebody's ultimate best not to allow them to take me for granted, because that will not bring them healing. At some point, you know, you show love, but you know that true healing will come when they turn around and they love. So at some point,
yes.
you know, I become sensitive to that, and now it's your turn to turn around, because that's in the interest of your ultimate best. I never love less. Christ's love can't love less, but sometimes my MO is different depending on what the person's need is. So.
Can I say something?
Ah, sure.
Yeah.
I think I feel sometimes we put the cart before the horse. I get that
mm-hmm.
right. I don't know if you remember, but after Peter didn't acknowledge Christ, and Jesus
right.
came back after he was. He came back after his crucifixion and had resurrection from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?"
Mm-hmm.
The first time he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He used the word agape.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But Peter used another word called philia, which is not
mm-hmm.
the unconditional love of agape. Philia is a love that most of us have. It's a brotherly love.
Right.
It's the human love. Then Jesus
mm-hmm.
says again to Peter, "Do you love me?" And again he uses the word agape, and Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Again using the word philia, meaning
mm-hmm.
he could. The last time Jesus came down to Peter's level and said, "Peter, do you philia love me?" Which was a lesser
mm-hmm.
love. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I do philia love you." And he was grieved. And then Peter was grieved because he knew, the Lord knew, that he did not yet have agape love. He was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "The Lord, you know all things." We come to the church, and hopefully we get saved, but we're sick. We're all sick.
Mm-hmm.
When
yes.
Jesus said, "The well need no need of a physician," Jesus was really saying, "And you're all sick because you all need me. There is no one." And I know this is hard for people to accept who think they have it all together, but unless, to the degree you know the Lord, to the degree you know his love and his resurrection power, are you whole? Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
"I came to make you whole." Most
mm-hmm.
people who come to the church have no concept of love. You
yes.
have to start there. And they must realize that coming to love with Jesus' love is a journey, because it's not their love, it's his love flowing through them.
Yes.
But in order for them to be a clear channel for that love, a lot of the garbage has to go. I say we clog the Holy Spirit coming by our anger, our unforgiveness, our self-will, our wanting to be boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to people who want to take the healing journey, and that's the clue, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to become healed? If
mm-hmm.
our relationship with the Lord is a journey. And I say, there's no way you're going to love with agape love now because you haven't learned that resurrection power. You begin and say, Lord, I have the will to love. That's all God requests of us, not the ability to love. That's God's job.
You have the desire.
You have the will. If you have the will and you realize that God's going to take you into hard places of trials where you're going to have to surrender your will, but if you have the vision that you're on this journey to learn love, and each
mm-hmm.
time a trial comes in and each time you have to surrender some part of yourself, you are getting a little bit closer to the Lord, not only in knowing him, but in becoming one with him as far as surrendering your will. As you
yes.
complete that journey, one day you will know what it means to present your whole self a living
yes.
sacrifice. And when you
mm-hmm.
present your whole self a living sacrifice, something wonderful happens. God is now able to change, give you his thoughts, his mind, his love. And after
mm-hmm.
you have had that experience, and we call it being crucified, we know what it means to be crucified with Christ and to have his resurrection power, we then
mm-hmm.
have his agape love. But that takes a desire on our part to be whole, to be healed, and to come into
mm-hmm.
an intimate relationship with the Lord. You cannot just say, yeah, I'd like agape love, or and you may not even understand agape love. It takes that journey for God to open up your eyes to see what love is. One form of non-love that many parents don't recognize is overprotectiveness. If you overprotect
mm-hmm.
your child, you're not loving your child. But you don't know that. You don't know that. You're meeting your own needs, your own fears.
Mm.
You don't want to lose that child. It takes a journey with the Lord for him to open our eyes to see those things we do to fulfill our needs and our selfish motives. One day he's going to give you a vision of yourself, of how, I've said this before, I've met the enemy and he is us. He is me.
Mm-hmm.
When you see how despicable you are, but not in the terms of self-worth, because you're not getting your self-worth anymore from your behavior. You're getting your self-worth
mm-hmm.
from God's love. So when you see how selfish you are, now you can begin to go on to learn what true love is. And you will see that all of humanity is in the boat. It's wonderful to see that we're all in the same boat of selfishness and sickness, so you don't have to go, poor me, ugly me, or whatever. I always say to people, get in the boat with the rest of us. Just join the rest of us sinners. Learn to become, actually, when you're saved, I don't let people call themselves sinners anymore. You're a saint that sins now. And I just say,
mm-hmm.
come on, get in the boat. But people must understand that it's a process. Otherwise, we're heaping something upon them that, yeah, maybe they would like to do, but they know they have these secret triggers for anger and rage. They know they do things that they can't explain. They know they're cruel. They don't know why. They may have to go through a lot of forgiveness and a lot of healing, but their will must always be to become whole and to learn God's
yeah,
love, and he heals.
They must have the desire.
That's
has to
all
be there.
God asks. And you call it desire, I call it will. It's the same thing. The reason
yeah.
why I call it will is because it's an active decision, and sometimes you're going to scream out as the trials come in, but you set
mm-hmm.
that will to follow God, even though you don't understand, even though it hurts. And when you get through that, he will give you the revelation of why you had to go through that and how you grew through that.
You know, I explain what you're saying. I explain it to the new Christians when they come into the church. I ask them, if you ride down the freeway and during the summertime when the flowers are blooming, and there's a little ditch down there, you see all of the pretty flowers down in the ditch. As you go up on the little hill, you don't see the flowers that much. They're real pretty down in the ditch. Now, down in that ditch is where all the muck, water, everything flows. Everything. So that's where you grow. You grow among the suffering. You grow among all of the trouble and the turmoil that you're put through. That's where you grow. Now, when you mature in one situation, God will take you out, set you kind of up on a little hill, let you dry out a little bit. But anytime you get ready to learn a new lesson, you put you right back down in there, because it's where everything run off. All of the anything that runs downhill. And it's going to gather down in that little hole, and that's where we're going to grow. But when you come through one thing, he's going to take you out, shake you off, give you a little breathing room, get ready to learn something from him, he's going to put you right back. And when you, God kept asking Peter, did you love me? God knew Peter was facing one thing that we all face, flesh. We will love God until we're that flesh is under attack. You know, if I've got to be uncomfortable, oh, no, I don't know him. And, you know, I'll say a bad word if you ask me if I know him again. So this is what we have to, this is why God, the word of God encourages us. If you're going to come after Christ, you got to be born again. You got to deny yourself,
right,
and allow the Spirit of God to take over. We must be born again. And once you're born again, that flesh, you have something, because there's one thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Some people, I say Holy Ghost. Some people say Holy Spirit. Either way, same thing. You can know Christ with the Holy Ghost. And this is, who was that in the Bible say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And said, no, we didn't even know that there was any Holy Ghost at all. But anyway, once you're born again, you're going to suffer every little bit of thing. And every time you kind of come out of a suffering situation, you have a little bit more agape love in you. And the thing you have to learn is that's when being born again, you got something that taps you on your shoulder every time you get ready to dislike somebody or and do all these things. It'll tap on the shoulder and tell you that right and left. You know, sometimes I have said things not meaning any harm, but
right,
the way I say it came across is not so much as what I say is what people hear me say. So they interpret it another way, and I just would catch my face and go, oh, my God, I shouldn't have said that. This doesn't hurt that person's feelings. But this is what being born again does to you, and this is what the agape love of Jesus Christ will do to you. It will let you know that what you're saying, you hurt someone. What you're doing, you have hurt someone. And you know what? I have been stepped on, whatever. I'm still going to reach out there and love people. The same people you step on me today, I'm going to love you tomorrow. I couldn't do that at first, but once God comes in, and by no means, I'm not perfect. No one, I think when we become, it's time for us to move on, you know, to go on to heaven. But you're saying exactly what we know to be true. We're all sinners saved by grace. And when we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you really, you got to, like you said, you got to have that will. When you come to me and say, hey, give me everything you got to give me, you have to be careful, because that's going to come up with you. I got to come to Christ, hey, I'm on the easy road now. No, that's when it gets really hard, because you have to grow through suffering. That's the only way you can love like God wants you to love.
Amen. And Lord, and you have that all together. But I, as a whole at large, the problem is we have Christians sitting under pastors who
mm-hmm.
don't talk about the cross. There is a price to discipleship. Pick up your cross, and that is death to the self-life. And if we are, in fact, born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, things do begin to change. Now, if they're under strong leadership and passionate leadership that explains, first of all, love is not a feeling. Let's go out by act of your will. Do you want to please God? Yes. Okay. You want to love these kids? Let's go out there. And I want to tell you, they will follow a loving pastor and reach out. And you see, Satan is so clever. Yeah, they run from Bible study to Bible study, keeping eyes on self. Got to get healing. Well, healing cannot be attained as a goal. It's an end product of getting your eyes off self and reaching out to somebody else.
Yes.
And that's where I'm coming from. Church of Bible studies. People spend a lifetime, but you know what? It's part of filling their own need. And a lot of Christians don't understand this, but we have to be careful. We are making an idol of the Word of God. The Word of God was never meant to be an end. It's a means to an end. That end, knowing Jesus Christ. Okay, there's a difference between knowing all about Him. And that doesn't, and I don't minimize the value. And necessity of the Word of God by saying that. But I know too many theologians who know that Bible, backwards and forwards, who are so lax in warmth.
Yes.
And some of the unsaved are more caring than some of these theologians. So we have to be very careful. Satan will take something good and make it a stumbling block. Our kids are dying, and so we got to care. I don't care whether you just come to the Lord or not. Reach out. You know, come on. See how wonderful that feels to make somebody else happy. But they need that leadership, and they don't have it because, I keep saying it again ad nauseum, they preach the world in the name of Jesus. They baptize the American dream, and all it does is keep eyes on self, and we have selfish, self-centered Christians. And that's the problem. Not that they're going on and on going in agape love. They've never even been taught about, there's a price to pay. And they're not willing to pay the price. So
I'm going to ask a question, and I'm not going to expect you to answer, but I'm asking this question because I heard a lady talking, and she's a lady of influence. She influences a lot of people. And she was talking about our position as leaders. And she said that God wanted us to fill our cups first before we started trying to serve other people. I wasn't quite clear on what she meant.
What did she say?
I don't get it. Fill our cups first?
Yeah.
What did she mean, Lois?
She was saying fill our cups until it overflows. And she said people should get our overflow. And I didn't understand. Maybe I didn't understand what she meant, but somehow my spirit didn't agree with her.
No.
I don't believe God wants us to grab what we have first and give people the leftovers.
I don't think maybe she didn't mean that, but maybe she also meant sometimes you take baby Christians and you put them right out there in ministry, and really I feel that you've got to learn to sit at the feet of the Lord. And maybe that's what she meant. You can't give to someone what you don't have for yourself. The more you must spend time with the Lord, getting to know Him and letting Him heal you and teach you who you are, rather than just getting out there and doing works, because then you're just repeating the pattern you did out in the world, and what you're really doing is you're doing it in your own strength. Maybe that's Maybe that's
what
she meant.
When she said that, something in my spirit didn't quite agree. And the only reason that I thought about it and I'm still praying about that is because she has such influence over a large amount of people. I mean, she influences people everywhere, all over the United States. And I just, you know, I was just thinking about that, and I said, you know, we have to really be careful. And it took me back to our message on Sunday. We got to be careful what we teach.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you speaking about Joyce Meyer, by any chance?
No, it wasn't Joyce Meyer.
I don't think you should. Never mind.
All right.
It doesn't matter who it is. People may say, oh, I hear all this suffering. Well, what's the reward? Well, the reward is we're free of self. I don't know if people realize that.
Yeah.
We are totally in bondage to ourselves. I don't care whether it's our ambitions, whether it's our fears, whether it's our anxiety, whether it's our depression, whether it's our cigarette smoking, whatever it is, our unhappiness, our loneliness, it's all putting us in bondage to self. That when you go through all of what we've been talking about, you're free of yourself. And for the first time, you know peace and joy. And you're not being driven by anything.
That's right.
That's very true. You know, when we're talking ministry, not everybody knows how to relate to a gang kid. We all have different gifts. And so when I'm talking about a team effort, there would be that. Let's say like my beloved David Wilkerson. You know, but then get people on board to do what needs to be done. Do you need some house parents? Do you need, you know, that kind of thing? Because not everybody is going to be a David Wilkerson or at that point of maturity. But I do know, you know, that kind of fire catches on passion. You know, people are hungry to see people on fire, excited about something. That can be very, very, very contagious. And they want to be a part of that. And they don't have to be in a leadership role. Just, you know, just reaching out and giving somebody a smile, you know, under good leadership, that, you know, that would work. So,
you know, and I try to encourage people to, during the week, just do an act of random kindness, an ARK. Whatever you do, do an act of random kindness.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of money, but sometimes I go through the drive. And I pay for my sandwich or something, and I say, how much is the car behind me? And they'll say, oh, $3 or something. And I say, well, let me get that car behind me.
Yeah,
and I do that.
That's
I try
great.
To do that once or twice a week. And but I hurry and drive off because I don't, you know, I pay for it. And I said, all you're required to do when they get here is tell them it's paid for. So I go on. Sometimes people will catch me on the street and blow their horn until I stop. and I try to do it because I don't want people to know that I'm doing it. I always want to do an act of random kindness. Or might be a little boy, a kid in a grocery store, and he can be begging for something. Can I have this? Can I have this? And I'll ask his mom, if it's okay, I'll get it for him. And she'll say, okay. And in turn, they do it to me. My granddaughter was in the store with me the other day, and a lady paid for her. She said, pick you out something. Just say, I'm going to pay for it. So, you know, it makes people smile. It makes them feel good about them.
Yes,
it makes
them,
and I tell you, really and truly, it makes them know that somebody else is aware of them that's not human. It has to be God that is aware. That they live, that they exist. Because who else is going to do something for you but God? You know?
Yes, you know, Lois, I thought of it just tonight. This was 2 years ago. A kid, and they're always wanting to help me. This kid, I'd never spoken to him. He's going to hold the door open for you, sure. And it happened so fast. Within seconds, the kid just opened the door. I was going through the door. Within seconds, the kid was telling me how he was suicidal. I don't know. It was something about his grandpa. Da, 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 da. And I spoke with him, and it made a difference. So weeks later, I said, "Can I ask you, why did you unburden yourself to me? I mean, you didn't know me." He said, "Because you cared enough to ask me how I was doing with warmth." Can you imagine? That's what I'm saying. It doesn't take much.
It
doesn't take much. You know, you don't
much.
Have to, you know, be near the Apostle Paul. Just kindness, as you say, Lois, can maybe save a life. You know?
Yeah, people say that I flirt a lot, but I just call it being kind. The other day I was in a store, and I was going down the aisle where this man was stocking drinks. And this young man, young enough to be my grandson, and he picked up a big thing of drinks from the top shelf and put it down. I said, "Oh, look at your muscles." I said, "You got muscles popping out everywhere. You're so strong." And he started laughing. He said, "How you doing, ma'am?" So then I went on through it. I told him, I said, "God bless you." I went on through the store, and I was coming back through there, and he looked over at me. He said, "Boy, you got me over here just grinning all to myself." I said, "You go ahead and grin to yourself." But it made a difference then. I do crazy stuff like that because, so it's just, I guess I try to be led by the Lord, because you never know who needs to be uplifted.
That's right,
and
Lloyd, absolutely.
We're supposed to be in a position of people. And not worried about, you know, whether or not our table is full. Because your table is obviously full, or you wouldn't have the energy to serve somebody else.
Yes.
So we're going to do what we can. To alleviate the problem that we're having with the young people, because I want them to love each other and to love God and to love what they do and to walk in that purpose without.
And of course, Lois, we are in a different day and age. Now there is such an urgency. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was going to school, we didn't talk about kids shooting one another and dying. So this is why it's a pickup. You know, now there's not time to go to the Bible. A kind word may stop a kid, a 14-year-old is shot in the back. This is what I feel. It's a crisis now. We got to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You could just, you know, and try and do something, you know, to make a difference, to stop the dying.
That's right.
And I'm so surrounded by it that it's just always in front of my face. That I have to, you know, one kid after another. Anyway,
you're absolutely right. We've got about 2 minutes left on the broadcast, and Barbara, if you want to us to talk about something next week, be sure and let me know. You can get a number from Kay. You can call me anytime. And we can talk about something, or Kay, if you want to think we can discuss something else. The reason we come on here is to bring knowledge and understanding to situations. And this is why we do this. We don't do this to entertain people. We try to do this so that somebody can see our heart and maybe open up their heart, because a lot of people don't like to share what's going on the inside. Me, myself, I'm an open book. Go ahead, ask me anything. I'm going to tell myself, and then that way the devil won't have nothing to hold over my head.
And I'm looking for that multimillionaire to listen to one of, you know, give this link to the multimillionaire, maybe get one house started at least.
Yes. We're going to do this. you can go to blogtalkradio.com/thestewpot. And the reason it's called the Stew Pot is because the Stew Pot has everything in it, right? Potatoes.
Right.
It's got everything, meat. And so that's what we want this show to be, a nourishing show, something that's very nourishing. That's why we call it the Stew Pot. And my show is called Let's Talk Truth. And if you guys want to do a show, we got some days available for you to do one. So anytime you can do it, okay? We've got 10 seconds left. I want to thank my co-host, Kay DeWitt. I want to thank Barbara for you are such a blessing to this show, and thank God for you. Thank God for the ones that's in the studio. I think they're learning more than anything. That's why they're listening. And I think somebody else called in, but they didn't say anything. But anyway, you're more than welcome. And I just want to say this until next week. This is Lois Bullock. I'm the host of Let's Talk Truth. And guess what, you guys? I am loving you with the heart of God. So
Amen.
Good night.
Good night, Lois.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.